Thank you for joining us today. I'm here with Mayor Shirley Marquardt and City Manager Chris Laddick. So, it's a big year for the city. So Shirley, what are some of the big projects the city is looking at completing this year?
Well, the first one on the list is the powerhouse. Well, getting started, it'll be completed next year, but that is just a huge milestone for this community. Moving into the 21st century and our ability to provide energy that's clean, that's efficient, it lowers rates. Base rates don't completely lower, but the COPA definitely does. It almost goes away. And just very, very efficient machines that are going to allow us to take care of the energy use that we already have in the community, keeps us from having to purchase power, which is more expensive, from UNICE, and it also allows us to create growth, which any community wants, and we see going on in this community all the time. So that's a really big accomplishment for everyone in the community. The next project is the small boat harbor, and that's something that I started working on back in 1984 when I was first elected on council. It has just been such a long road. And we're finally at the point where the Corps has got funding, and they're ready to start work on the breakwater this summer, and hopefully we might get some more money in the whatever stimulus bill that comes out of Washington, D.C. this winter, and then they would get the second portion, the Phase 2 money, so we know the project would really, really start moving then, and it's going to be interesting for the council and the community to design the inner harbor improvements this winter.
Okay, so talk a little bit about where the harbor's going to be, why it's necessary for the growth of the community.
Well, it's typically called Little South America. It's just on the south side of the bridge, and it's a natural little harbor, natural little bay, with the area and the uplands needed to really support our not only our local fishermen, who you've seen their small boat harbor. There's nowhere for them to work. It's very inefficient. They can't spread out their gear. They can't store gear. It's been really frustrating for a long time for them. It allows them to go ahead and expand and become more efficient, and also keeps some of our fishing partners who are forced to travel elsewhere in the state between seasons or go all the way down to Seattle. And it's a very expensive trip fuel-wise, and it's also very dangerous. We've lost vessels before. It's still a great mystery where several of them went. They just disappeared on the Gulf trip in the 80s. And by keeping the vessels here, there's always work to be done on them, whether it's boat watching, whether it's minor work, or whether it's the major work that they need to do every few years for their insurance. Now they've got a place to stay in Alaska, and we certainly have the support sector that can take care of them. So a rising tide lifts all boats, and that's the way a lot of us have been looking at this new small boat harbor for a lot of years. So that's a huge milestone as well. And I'm really looking forward to the design process, because I hope we design something that's not only functional and efficient, but pretty, and that fits in with the community, and that allows us to still have the green space and the sense of just how beautiful that area, so that doesn't really disappear.
And are you accepting community input for the design process?
Absolutely. It will be going through the council process. We've asked for input on the design the last couple of years. We sent out letters through the mail to all the mailboxes and got with UNFA and had an open house and asked people to come in and say, what are you looking for in your small boat harbor? What do you really not want to see? Collected that information. And now the council, as they sit down and go through, I'm sure, many workshops on this, where they want to go, that I certainly hope that the public and the users absolutely do come to the meetings. Because a lot of us, you know, we're not boat operators. Some of us are up there, but most of us are not. So all of the input that we can get would be helpful.
Excellent. And the time scale, the time frame for that?
The time frame is, that's a good question. Mr. Laddick?
They're going to start construction this summer. And as Mayor Marquardt indicated, we're looking for $15 million in the economic stimulus package to finish the outer breakwaters. If that were to occur and we can get started, they have to finish the outer breakwaters before we can start construction on the inner harbor. So that could be as early as 2010 or 2011 before we could be finished. If we don't get the money from the economic stimulus package, it's probably going to be 2012.
Are you seeking money in the economic stimulus package for any other major projects?
Yes, we are. We've also asked for money for the powerhouse, $4 million there, and money for paving Ballyhoo Road, $4 million. So we've tried to provide some alternatives in case the stimulus package comes down for DOT, let's say Department of Transportation. We'd have a transportation project, we have a power project, and then a boat harbor project. So the Corps of Engineers is who the money would come through for the boat harbor project.
All right. And you mentioned paving Ballyhoo Road.
Yes. Many years ago, the city embarked on paving East Point Road and Ballyhoo Road. DOT was working on that project. The city spent $1 million in design. And about several years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, the state came back to us and said, this is the most expensive project we've ever worked on. It's at $24 million now, and not all the estimates are included. And we're going to quit working on this project because of the environmental problems on East Point Road and just the costs. So we asked them to split it up, DOT to split that up, and they said they would apply $12 million towards Ballyhoo Road and I think some money towards East Point. And then the bridge came, and they took them a good portion of the money for Ballyhoo Road to spend on the bridge because the bridge was over budget. So now we're in a situation where we are not on the STIP for Ballyhoo or East Point. They're very expensive projects, and we're trying to figure out how to do Ballyhoo, which was the easier portion of the project to do. It doesn't have the environmental problems that East Point has.
Okay, so you would be paving from what point to what point on Ballyhoo Road?
That would be from the airport down Alaska Ship Supply, probably down past the DH Ports project to around North Pacific.
Okay, but not all the way out to the end of the spit.
No. That's another additional project that's on the list for some years out.
Are there any other major construction projects on the list coming up soon?
Well, talking about the transportation projects, we've hired a consulting firm to basically take a look at our roads, tell us how we can improve the paving that we've been doing since they haven't been holding up to the environment, and then develop a list of which projects should be done first, and then the costs, of course, associated with that, and how we can better maintain our roads. So that should be forthcoming, but the next round of paving we had planned was, you know, Salmon and Gilman Way and Bjorka and, I can't remember, probably some parking lots. We already did the airport parking lot, but those were the major ones, and we're trying to figure out what to do on Standard Oil Hill.
In terms of?
Paving. Because those are substandard width streets, we're more than likely have to just pave, you know, the road that's there. But we need to really consider the alternatives. And part of this consultant's job is to look at alternatives to paving for some of the lesser traveled streets, like chip seal or what's available. And they're also going to be looking at concrete.
Concrete worked well in this environment?
Well, we're not sure, and that's why we want somebody to sort of guide us, or else we do a test strip for it. What's hard on these roads is trucks with chains. And when the trucks with chains turn on these roads, you know, it peels the pavement up slowly but surely. And we're in an environment where the industry has to work year-round.
So there's a lot on the plate in terms of construction, in terms of major projects. What about in terms of changes in ordinance in any way?
Well, certainly the smoking ordinance that's before council and the public now is a major change for the community to make a decision on. And the council has decided that they really want to get as much public comment as they can about that before they make any decisions, and have decided to put that item on our work sessions up under public comment for the next several meetings. So they're just listening to members of the public and to the businesses. And it's probably by June they would need to have their ducks in a row of what they think would work best, would be enforceable, would be fair, would meet standards, etc. in an ordinance and bring that forward. They would pass that ordinance, but the ordinance would only go to effect if it was passed by a majority of the voters in Unalaska in a special vote then in October. And that's the direction that they're heading now, because it's such a large issue. And, you know, there are very strong opinions on both sides. And then there's a whole lot of people somewhere in the middle. So it's been really an interesting conversation to have. And I think that we're going to end up finding something that really works well for everybody. The enforcement side of it was, I had a little concern with, you know, how do you decide whether somebody's standing 20 feet outside the door? Are you going to mark the doorways with fluorescent paint? And what if somebody steps outside of that circle right when the, you know, police car comes up? Or, you know, the enforcement of having somebody, you have to stand 20 feet outside the door. Well, for several of our establishments, the bars, now you're putting those people out in the roadway. So there are definitely some things to work through. Other than that, large policy items for the city, of course, we've got the operating and capital budget coming up that council is going to be looking at here February, March, and setting budget goals at our next meeting. So that's going to be an interesting meeting. There are a couple of new goals on there, but for the most part, councils for the last, you know, 8-10 years have kept a pretty steadfast vision of the goals for the city of trying to keep operating costs from ballooning too much, because our operating costs generally are moving around 6-7% a year up to operate, but our revenues only build at about 1-2%. So when you add that in with all of our projects we're talking about here, and we haven't even got to the new landfill, which we're in the process of designing, and also the new wastewater treatment plant, which we have to have redesigned and online in the next couple years, according to EPA. There's a lot of money that's being floating around, and there's the additional change of kind of the changing of the guard in Washington, D.C., with Senator Stevens gone. And I've had a couple comments already from some folks back there that said, gee, in the past, Senator Stevens took care of this for you, and he's gone, so we're really not sure if this is going to work for you. And in terms of air transportation, things like that. So I think we just have to really, really scrutinize everything that we're doing and be careful and look towards the future and look at ways that we can provide the community not only with the projects that you have to have, but also with the services that the residents of this community have come to really depend on. And I think in some ways almost take for granted. They think it's just easy to get up and clear the roads or have these programs for your kids after school or, you know, keep the bars from getting out of control when, you know, all the fishermen are in or things are going crazy. And it's not. It takes really quality work and people who are really, you know, really committed to doing a good job. And it costs money, and it takes time and effort. So there's just so many things that are going to have to be balanced, not only this year, but in the future, looking at the, you know, turbulent financial markets worldwide. And we've got a lot of money out there in bonds. We've got a lot going on that we need to keep watch on the pieces. So
will any cuts need to be made because of the economic crisis nationwide?
At this point, I don't see that happening. And again, the council is going to have to look into a crystal ball, because the budget that they're looking at is for 2010. So that money would start to be spent next July. And, you know, where are things going to be then? I don't know. Fisheries, the general health of the fisheries is good. But the problem that we are seeing right now is the salmon bycatch issue. And the list of alternatives that the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council has brought forward for public comment, which is due February 14th, I believe, do have some extremely low numbers of hard caps on them. So if the fisheries, if they somehow continue to catch these fish in numbers that over they catch, the fishery will shut down, totally shut down. That's our landing tax. It's our raw fish tax, and it's our shared fisheries business tax, which runs this town. And so that's a really big concern. And the city's really going to have to be vocal on this issue and to look at the information that they're using in the science and to really look at, are they really taking into consideration what it does to a healthy community? And we really have to keep an eye on that, because that could, a hit like that could cost us, take millions of dollars out of our operating budget. And then you would take money out of the bank to cover that and figure out, oh gosh, what do we do next? And that's kind of our rainy day fund that we've always had set aside.